Today's edition of Calibration Corner is brought to you by Smart Home, smart products for smart homes. For more information, go to our website and click on the Smart Home banner and get great deals on all your home automation needs. And by Netflix, where you can watch all the movies you want for as little as $8.99 a month. For more information, go to our website and click on the Netflix banner. And by the HT Guy store, where you can get all your home theater gear and more. For more information, go to htguys.com/shop.
Welcome to the HD TV podcast featuring the HD guys, Ara Derdarian and Braden Russell. Now, the HD TV podcast.
All right. So on the show today, we have a special guest. It's Ray Coronado. And you know what? We're going to dub this Ray Coronado's Calibration Corner. Ray, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me back.
So, you know, you were on the show a little while ago, and then we talked about what a great job you did in my theater room, and I keep getting questions about calibration, and I'm thinking I'd like to make this a regular feature, you know, maybe every other month kind of thing, so our listeners could send in questions, and this is predominantly going to be listener-based as far as the questions go. And today I have about four questions from I think two or three people. And I'd love to start off and fire away. But, you know, before I even do that, why don't you tell me a little bit about what you do, Ray, and how our listeners can get a hold of you?
Well, I do independent video and audio calibration. I don't sell any equipment because I didn't want to get biased by having to move somebody's product. And I'm out there to basically refine and polish up whatever you have in-house. That's pretty much the gist of what I do. And I could be contacted via my website, which is socalht.com. And my phone number is on there as well. So you can either send me an email or give me a call, and I'll try to help you out however you need.
Great. And you pretty much service the entire Southern California area.
Yeah. Yeah, I try to. I mean, there's certain places I won't go unless I have actually a handful of calibrations. But, I mean, I'll service the better part of the L.A., Orange County, Ventura County area.
Okay, very cool. All right, so the Brent Wells sent us two questions. So what he says is he's a longtime listener, and this is the first time he sent us an email. And he wanted us to ask you, what is the single best pattern to use to set contrast? He says he doesn't have a problem with brightness, and he's tried the Spears and Munsell and a few others, and he's having trouble trying to figure out how to get which one's the right one to use on his Epson 85UB projector.
Okay, well, first I have to explain that about black and white levels. There are video black and white levels, and there are computer or PC-based black and white levels. The black in computer is basically designated by 0, while the black in video is designated by 16. So it's literally 16 shades up from absolute 0 in the computer world. On the top end, your white in video is designated by shade 235, and in the PC world, it's designated by the shade 255. That being said, we have a little bit smaller black and white level than a PC does, or, you know, full range black and white. Now, me personally, I use the video pattern in my signal generator, which is very similar to the pattern in the Spears and Munsell disc. So it will show a video black background, which is black 16, and it shows boxes from 0 to, I think it's 24. So, and each box is numbered, so it shows you each shade. And what you do is you bring your brightness down till box 16 blends right in with the background, and you can see nothing below 16, but you can see the boxes above 16. And there is a similar pattern on the Spears and Munsell disc. There is also a similar pattern in my generator for contrast, which gives you a white background of 235 and then gives you shades from 255 down to, I think it's about 230. and it allows you to see where video white is and where you start clipping your above white. Spears and Munsell has the exact same pattern. I personally think they have some of the best patterns for doing these adjustments. But the problem that kind of lies with using a disc is you don't know if you're clipping blacks and whites is a product of your display or a product of your Blu-ray player that you're using.
I see. So that's why you use the generated in a one of your instruments.
Correct. Yeah, because I know that my instrument, my signal generator, puts out a full range signal. So if I'm not seen above black or above white or below black, the problem is not the signal. The problem is the display device is clipping those signals.
Okay, so well, good advice. So you're recommending the Spears and Munsell, and keep in mind, Brent, that it could, if there is an issue, it could actually be in your Blu-ray player. So the next question Brent asks deals with gamma, but before I ask the question, could you describe or tell the listeners what gamma is? Because a lot of us see that in some of the settings that we have available to us, but really have no idea what that is.
Gamma. Gamma is kind of interesting in that I sat here and I tried to figure out what would make the most sense in the explanation. It is literally the ramp rate that the signal comes out of black. It's a nonlinear ramp rate, which means it comes out at a slope. Because, unfortunately, gamma is a carryover from the old CRT analog days. And analog devices did not come out of, didn't come up linearly. You didn't come from black to white, and when you applied 10% voltage, you didn't get 10% light out of it. So what we're doing now with gamma is, with a digital device, we're now trying to emulate an analog device. So it's literally controlling the brightness of everything between absolute black and absolute white. And if your gamma is too high, like say at 1.6, 1.3, your image is going to look washed out. But if your gamma is too low, let's say 2.6, 2.7, your image is going to look too dark in the middle of the picture range. And it's literally, like I said, it's a carryover from the analog days, and you're trying to mimic what an analog CRT device did.
Okay, that's interesting. So let me ask his question now, and then if you could explain some of these things, because you, in your explanation, you kind of talked about some of the questions he's going to ask. So Brent asks, when setting gamma on his 85 UB projector, the high end is way too bright no matter what, even if he lowers the contrast settings. And he says he can't get the 90 range to come up above 1.6 optimal, with the optimal being 2.2. And he says he's not even getting close to the optimal, and he uses a custom gamma and to have set the 90 all the way down to minus 32, and he says still no dice. He says, could it be a problem with his sensor? So there's a lot of terms and numbers I use in there, so in answering his question, can you please explain what those terms and numbers are as well?
Okay, what he means is you can't get the gamma, you said, I think at the 90 range below 1.6. It sounds like to me that the problem is that his overall contrast in the brightness and contrast setting is set too high. So basically, there isn't a big enough difference between the 90% pattern and the 100% pattern, and the 90 is literally kind of washed out. In the upper end, things are going to get washed out. So it sounds like he's clipping whites at the top.
So when you say 90% pattern and 100% pattern, I'm assuming that means there's a pattern on the screen, and 90 is the brightness, or is it the level? What's the 90% versus 100%?
Okay, when you calibrate, you use, in the old days, we used to call them IRE patterns, 10% IRE, 20% IRE, but that's a designation from the analog days. With all the video stuff going digital, we basically have gone to percentages. And what it is percentage of gray, or 0 is black, 100 is white, and there are nine steps of gray in between, 10%, 20%, 30%. So So it's a progression up to absolute white, to full white. So 90% is theoretically 10% darker than full white. And like I said, if there isn't a big enough difference between the 90% pattern and the 100% pattern, you'll get a very high gamma at that 90%. So that's why I said it sounds like the upper end of the video range, the upper end of the white, is getting kind of clipped. So it would seem to me that in that case, his overall global contrast, the contrast setting in his projector, is set too high. Either that or, the player could possibly be doing something to the signal.
Okay, and then he also mentions, could it be a problem with his sensor? So I guess that could also be an issue if the sensor is not reading properly. And so my question for you, for do-it-yourselfers, are there any calibration tools you recommend? Because there's stuff you could find, like you and I talked about the Spider TV, and you said it's not really that good. What would you recommend for the do-it-yourselfer kind of person?
Well, I have to tell you that there is a multitude of usable tools out there for the DIYer. I mean, that's how I started, and I went through, in the lifetime of my calibration learning curve, I've probably gone through a dozen different sensors. And the problem is, I always thought every sensor that I had was the sensor, and it's perfect. The thing that ends up becoming a big issue with most people that they don't realize is every sensor is accurate till it is measured against something that is reference. So you don't know it's wrong till it's measured against something that's right. With that in mind, I would probably buy a sensor that has been calibrated or referenced before it was shipped to you. The software that I use is from a company called SpectraCal, and SpectraCal is probably one of the largest, if not the largest, calibration software, hardware people in the business right now. They've kind of blown up in the last couple years as far as how they saturated the market. And the one thing with them is, even if you buy a low-end entry-level sensor like an i1 Display 2, or something to that extent, every sensor that comes from them before it leaves their facility is calibrated against a $40,000 Konica Minolta spectral radiometer. So you know that when you get that sensor, it is reading accurately.
I see. So, and obviously you're going to pay a little bit for that, but at least you'll know that you've got an accurate sensor.
Correct. I mean, you don't know, like I said, you don't know it's wrong till somebody shows you, or, you know, if somebody handed you a ruler that roughly looked a foot, but it was actually 13 and a half inches, you wouldn't know it wasn't a foot till you put it up next to a 1 foot ruler.
Yeah, I gotcha. All right. So then we got a question from Ed Stouffer, and he wants to know, does 3D TVs require an additional calibration step over a 2D TV, and can it suffer from misalignment over time?
I can tell you my personal experience. I don't know about the misalignment issue. 2D and 3D TVs, a 3D TV, you do normally a 2D calibration first. And depending on the display device, be it a Samsung, a Sony, Panasonic, there is normally separate tables for the 3D calibration. So it would also require a 3D calibration to be correct. As far as the misalignment, I don't know if he means misalignment of the picture or what he really means by that, but I don't think that is a huge problem that I've ever seen.
All right. Well, thanks for that answer. And, you know, I have one last question, and actually the question is for me. When I was working at Sony and we were dealing with audio calibration, when we had analog equipment in the movie theaters, we would have to go back and recalibrate from time to time because things would drift. So the question I have is, once you have a digital set calibrated, or whether it be projector or television, is this something that you have to revisit from time to time?
That answer varies, unfortunately. digital displays, like let's say a flat panel display, will drift a little bit because by the nature of their makeup that they're made out of components and the components have tolerances. And, you know, things change with heat, heating and cooling. So it will drift. Will it change dramatically? Probably not. If you really, really want to make sure that you have the best picture, I would say have a calibrator come in about once a year and take a look at it. Most calibrators do not charge the same amount for a touch-up that they would for a full-blown calibration because about 90% of the work's already done. You may have to give it a click here, a click there to get it right back to the optimal standards. So, you know, I would say about once a year, just my opinion. Projectors, completely different thing. Those devices degrade as the bulb ages. And the bulb will settle in at about 100 to 150 hours and will gradually degrade from there. The light falls off, and normally the full spectrum of the light falls off equally. Now, when you go to replace your projector lamp, well, you just changed the complete makeup of the light that you originally calibrated with. So that in that case, yes, the display device should be completely recalibrated when you put a new lamp in.
Okay, well, that's interesting, and I appreciate that. So I guess I'll have you out here in a couple of years to recalibrate the projector when I get the new bulb. All right, Ray, thanks so much for coming on the show. And for our listeners, hopefully you like this, and if you would, send us some questions, and we'll have Ray back on in maybe a month to 2 months, depending on how many questions we get. Just put maybe the subject line calibration corner, and you can find Ray at socalht.com, and he's a audio and video calibration consultant servicing the Southern California area. Ray, thanks again.
Hey, thank you very much for having me on.
This has been the HDTV podcast featuring the HT guys, Ara Derderian and Braden Russell. If you want to contact the HT guys, HDTV podcast at mac.com. And stay subscribed and tell your friends.